Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Mock, and we are now in episode 9 of Resisting Gossip. We have entered into the second to last phase of the book, which has two chapters in it, responding to gossip. So we've figured out with what gossip is, and we looked at how to resist gossip with charity, edifying speech, godly listening, and now we are responding to gossip. In this episode, we are talking about responding to gossip with faith, so the vertical relationship, our relationship to God, how we deal with gossip before God. And then next episode, we're going to look at responding to gossip with love on the horizontal level. So we're talking today about how to respond to gossip that's been made about us. This assumes that we are made aware that we have been gossiped about. And I don't need to explain the effects or what it might be like for someone to be gossiped about and then to know about it. If you have lived a good amount of years, you have likely been gossiped about and have learned that you've been gossiped about. I don't think you are exceptional in the sense that no one has ever gossiped about you. I think that because you are a human and you have faults and weaknesses and sins and you hurt other people because of those, you are at one point or another gossiped about. The only person who has been gossiped about that never did anything in return or never did anything to sinfully provoke a person to gossip is Jesus Christ himself. Certainly people did bear bad news behind Jesus's back from a bad heart. And he didn't deserve any of that. He was the one who came to bring good news. And he came to bring good news to all, not behind people's backs. And he came to bring good news from a good heart because he loves the world and desires to save the people that the Father had given him from before the foundation of the world. So we should take our cues from Jesus when we respond, with respect to responding to gossip. We're going to look at Psalm 140 in particular. So Psalm 140, we are taking the gossip to God. Okay, we take it to God. So verses 1 and 2, this is a psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. We know that gossip hurts because it's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of a friendship, betrayal of companionship, of love, of a history of dealing well with each other. Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14, also one of David, it says, for it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng. So right there, the Psalm of David, it has to do with being betrayed, being gossiped about by not an enemy, but by someone that he communed with in the house of God. Yes, gossip happens even in the church. I don't want to say especially in the church, but the church, it's not like gossip comes to the church doors and says, I can't enter here. No, it enters because our sinful hearts enter, darken those doors of the church. Gossip hurts. It's a betrayal. And it hurts because, in part, we also value a good name. And it's right to value a good name. Proverbs 22:1 and Psalm 71:1 is another passage you could go to. But Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. You are right to desire a good reputation. It's not a bad thing to desire to be called the righteous, to be called the faithful, not just because you are in the righteous Son of God in union with him by faith, but because you try to make it your aim in all things to please the Lord. You want to bear the name Christian well. So it's not a bad thing to have as a value, a good reputation, honor. And gossip robs our reputation. This desire to have a good name, and gossip, it happens in church, it happens in family, it happens at work. We're taking our concerns to God, and we tell God like it is. Verses 3 through 5. After David is pleading with the Lord to deliver him from evil men, he tells the Lord how things are. He's pouring out his heart. He says, they make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me. Whatever you're going through, you learn about being gossiped about, you should bring that to the Lord. Tell him how you are struggling. And remember that it is the Lord that you're talking to. Verses 6 and 7. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head in the day of battle. So just in those two verses, there is mention of the Lord four times. He is our master. He is our God. He is our creator. He is our covenant-keeping Lord. He's the one that you're going to. He's the one that can do something about your struggle. So you go to him. And when you go to him, you explain your problem. You explain your hurt, how you've been betrayed. You ask for justice. Psalm verses 8 through 11. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot, or they will be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. Let not the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil hunt down the violent man speedily. So that's a cry for justice. Lord, if these guys are not going to repent, and we can pray for their repentance. We should pray for their repentance. We should pray that they would turn from their sinful speech. First, because of their relationship with God, who is the God of truth. Second, because of the relationship to you. Pray that they would turn away from their sinful speech. They'd put that off. And that God would have compassion on them and save them and sanctify them if they've already been saved. But if those don't happen, there's nothing wrong with you in the same prayer, also praying for justice. Lord, you are the judge of all the earth. You do right. And I don't know your mysterious plan. These are secret things, how this person's going to end up. So I pray for mercy and I pray for justice. There's nothing wrong with praying for both, because you are a finite creature and you don't know all things. The Lord does. So you plead for justice. And then finally, you believe that God will answer. Psalm 140, verses 12 and 3. So the end of the psalm, he says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. So even though David has been betrayed and gossiped about, people are pursuing him and they desire his demise, he can take his concerns to the Lord, explain them, ask for justice, and believe that God is going to answer. This doesn't say when the Lord will answer. He will, however, answer sooner or later. There's a lesson like this as well in 2 Peter 2:9. The text says that the Lord knows how to rescue the righteous. He knows how to deliver the righteous. He's the God of justice and the God of salvation. So we entrust ourselves to this God of justice, to this God of redemption. We know that he can do all his holy will. He does all his holy will. Nothing thwarts his will. And he is all wise and all good and all knowing and all powerful. And he is omnipresent. So nothing escapes his plan. In fact, he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. He has an eternal decree that is worked out in history. And that eternal decree includes being gossiped about, suffering affliction at the hands of others, even your own friends, your family members, those church members that you've had that long-standing relationship with, that spouse, that parent, child, a boss. The Lord knows. The Lord cares. So we would do well to pray to him, the God of justice and knowledge and wisdom and goodness, and know that he would do right. He will do right in his time. That's how we respond in faith vertically. And then next time, we'll see how that heart relationship to God gets translated into relationship to others at the horizontal level. We'll talk to you later. Goodbye.